When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Now, before I read this one, I'm not talking to you, Rod. I know you're early. You weren't in on this argument last time.
Argument.
Jacqueline and Ralph, I want you to tell me I was right. I want you to tell me I was right. Now hiring. Grambling State, after initially backing their new volleyball coach who cut the whole team, has now circled back and fired her. Volleyball coach Chelsea Lucas, after a long internal investigation, has been let go from Grambling State University. Now, y'all celebrated this sister coming in after them kids had already signed letters of intent and was coming to the school. These kids were already guaranteed their scholarships. And I told y'all, you just can't come in and cut everybody and think that you ain't gonna have a target on your back. And now she gone. And they have reinstated the scholarships of all of the motherfuckers that she cut off at the knees.
And they ain't gonna have nary a win next season. You watch. They ain't gonna win jack shit. They ain't gonna win a thing. They ain't gonna win shit.
I think I might have been the one that brought it up.
You might have, homie.
And I was in full support of that woman. And I'm with Ralph. Grambling is about to suck again. Don't know why they caved, but welcome back to the bullshit.
Right. You fired a visionary.
Really?
Because the administration can't stand on their own two feet. I cannot stand management that makes a decision and wants to pull it back. Suck it up and stand on what you said you wanted to do. I think that's total trash, and good luck with your volleyball team. I'm not sending any money over there. I wasn't in the first place, but I was returning there. Bye!
You probably don't even watch volleyball. You got all this passion.
I don't like volleyball.
Oh, my Lord. Start the show. My name is Roy. This is my job fair. All that passion, Jacqueline, and you can't name two positions in about.
Well, I can't.
You need to get.
I can.
We're doing something a little
management.
Different.
It's the management. I don't like that.
We're doing something a little different this week. Now, we always explore the world of employment from the place of being employed, right? And then we always explore it with Rod through the prism of romance in the job. But when we had Doug Herzog on last week for TV Week, right? And he talked about firing people and the process of firing people, and there's ways to fire people.
Yes.
I figured this would be the best. Is it accompaniment episode? Back to back? I don't know. We are going to talk to people who are going to tell us their stories about their last day on a job.
Yes.
The homie Mike Hill's coming back on today. He's
going
to join the two-time club. He was at the Black News Channel. Black News Channel just got pulled off the air. Mike Hill was the last person on air before they filed bankruptcy Friday morning and just pulled all their... They started showing NordicTrack commercials.
He was taking a nap. He was taking a nap when they shut down.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun, man. We're going to talk to some people out there. You, the Job Fair listeners, we want you to be a part of the show all the time. RoyceJobFair@gmail.com if you ever want to be on the program. But it's going to be exciting today. The homie Todd Rex, who was on for Manhood.
Oh, yes. I like him.
Yeah. Raising that black hockey boy. Yeah. He coming back.
Shout out Maximus. Maximus mm-hmm. Rex.
CEO wife.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Gonna be fun. We're gonna talk to another brother who walked off the job. He wasn't fired. This Negro just walked off the job in a shoe store on the clock. Have any of y'all ever witnessed anybody's last day at work? I'll tell you my story, but I want to know first from y'all. Have you ever witnessed?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. There's a young man that I enjoyed. It wasn't my job, so we could say that. But this young man left a job. And the company required him to send status updates, required everybody to send status updates every day to say what they were doing. But everybody in the company hated it. So yeah. On the dude's last day, he wrote a status report, but it was the snarkiest, just full of everything asshole. And then at the end of it, he was like, oh, and by the way, I quit and just bounced. And I was like, yo, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I respect that.
Yeah, I'm usually the person, not necessarily HR all the time, but also from a communication standpoint, I'm going in when the firing is happening. So I'm there when they tell you across the table.
Ooh. Oh, so yeah, that's do you look at the people as it's happening? What's your strategy? What's Jacqueline's strategy to sitting and watching someone get the worst news they could possibly get at that job?
I'll just say on the last two, I made sure I passed by their office now in the climate that we're in and say something like, I'm not in on this, but I got to be there.
Damn.
Trying not to get shot, huh?
But hello.
How do you play that relationship, JG? Like when you know somebody getting fired and you know they one of them, I'll burn this motherfucker down. Are you nice to them in the weeks leading up to the firing?
Well, I'm going to be nice anyway, but I'm not going to over.
Are you though?
Are you though?
Are you though?
Are you though? Are you? Jay, are you gonna talk real freely to him for at least a good 2 weeks before you let him go?
Is that no, you, do? You just... all take stern as being mean, and there's a total difference. I'm stern. That's not mean.
That's fair. Rod, last days. Have you witnessed anybody's last day?
Oh, absolutely.
As a customer or a coworker?
Oh yeah. One time at a job, I was in my office having some fun, if you will. And right outside my door, my boss and one of my coworkers were going at it like cats and dogs, and they got fired to hell and back.
What?
They fired both of them? Like management didn't come in to decide who was right, who was wrong?
My boss fired that person. They got into a real, real big argument. It was a real wild time.
Really?
What was the occupation?
Oh, this is when I worked in the vet business.
Damn, y'all hollering around the dog, scaring the white customers? Wait a minute, Rod. You were having sex at a vet office in your... Oh.
He slept with every woman there with the exception of one, and he slept with her after he quit. It's ridiculous!
First of all...
Why are you telling this man
this? First of all, you got it backwards. I only slept with one woman from that job, but I only slept with her... on her last day after she clocked out for the last time
Oh, you didn't sleep with the clients.
I do not sleep with coworkers. I don't support that. Don't
the clients. Really. Did you sleep with the clients?
The clients? No. No, I didn't sleep with the clients. Not at this job. This was at the dog track.
Oh, okay.
Now, when I would do some freelance work at the vet hospitals.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was going down. Yeah, I'll come through with a checkup. For little reason. Yeah, I'll come through and check on it.
We were working at, we were going into Tallahassee Mall in college, and I don't remember the name of the store, but Rod knows the type of store. It's the sports memorabilia and jersey store.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a Cowboys mug or a Dolphins key ring, and then there's a bunch of plaques and souvenirs, and then there's also just a sea of sports apparel, right?
Thank you.
So, Yeah, it was one of those stores. Mm-hmm. So me and my boys are going in, and there's a white employee that storms out, and there's a single black employee up by the register. He's angry. Something clearly has gone wrong. Oh. And there's no greeting. There's no, hey, can I help you find anything? Nothing. He's just up there. He don't give a fuck about nothing. Two racks over from him is a black man in his 50s, and he is just stacking clothes on his arm. Hangers still in. He's just putting stuff up. Like, it looks like he's making selections to go to a fitting room, but it's like 30 shirts. And it's like, what is this nigga doing? And he throws the shirts on his back like a fire hose and starts making his way to the exit. Looks at me and my homeboys. He go, y'all niggas better get this shit. Y'all slacking. And he walks out of the store. So we go up to the employee. We go, what's going on? He said, man, that motherfucker y'all just saw leave, motherfucker went to lunch. Take whatever the fuck you want for the next 30 minutes, man. I don't give a fuck about this job no more, man. Take whatever the fuck you want, man. I'm tired of these motherfuckers. And we was like, bet.
He said nothing but a word, my guy.
Word. Say less.
Y'all do the shopping. I'm going to go bring the car around to the fire lane.
That's a friend. That is a friend right there. That's what I'm saying.
You remember those commercials? And for the people who don't remember, there were commercials in the 80s. Nickelodeon used to do something called the Nickelodeon Toy Run. And every year, a lucky kid would get selected by Nickelodeon, and you got a shopping cart, and you got 3 minutes, and anything you could grab in that fucking store was yours. Yeah. So it was like supermarket sweep. That's what we did. I had apparel from like Arizona State. We were just grabbing shit. And it's blatant theft. And here's how bold we were. We went in, grabbed a gang of shit. I parked the car. We put our fresh shit on, went back in the mall, and continued with our original
That's
agenda.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, man, at it.
Respect.
Really? Really? Respect.
We come back in the mall, and we see the black employee just walking past us, and he just gave us one of them friendship head nods. And you just see the white dude. You see the white dude scrambling, looking at the racks, trying to figure out what the fuck is this.
What happened? That's I don't know. I'm working by myself. I had to go do some inventory. I was watching this door. Right.
Some folks came in and just grabbed shit. Just grabbed shit. Man. I'm gone.
You know we can't chase nobody, sir. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. We can't. It's a no chase policy. We can't run
that's
after.
That's top notch, man. That's a real beautiful blessing, right? Ain't nothing like coming into a situation like that, boy.
Ain't nothing like witnessing somebody's last day and it benefits you as a customer.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree
that's
with
the
that.
Best shit.
I agree.
Especially
with that.
Fast food. Oh my God, fast food, them motherfuckers, man, they will.
He'll mess around, go to the menu, walk up to the stand and walk back with like 3 bags full of food. You don't even eat half that shit. They give you the chicken sandwich, everything.
You can always tell when they're about to quit if they say on the microphone, cash only.
That's fair.
It's time to pocket that. That's a good come up, man. I remember in high school, a friend of mine got a job at the Gap solely to give away all their shit to us and get shit for himself. Like, no bullshit. Like, he got a job at the Gap and, like, straight up, he would charge us, like, cents for everything. Like, you go up there with, like, $700 worth of clothes and that nigga would charge you, like, $8.
Yo, that was my favorite. That was my favorite.
Like they had two registers, and like it straight up be empty at one register, and he'd be behind the other. You be in line, and the person be at the next register. Like, hey, I'm open, man. You want to go? You're like, nah, I'm good.
I'm good.
We gonna wait on my man right here.
I'm gonna wait on my man. Yeah, I'm good. I had a similar hood ride. I'm with you. I had a homeboy that used to work. Well, the company is no longer there, so he can't get in trouble. But a homie used to work at French Connection in Georgetown in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And he called me one day. He was like, hey, man, look, I'm not telling you that I'm going to be here for the rest of the month, but I'm going to tell you that I might be here for a couple of hours. So if you got like, I don't know, $100, $200, you can come up here, man. You're going to come up. Dog, I walked out of French Connection with like 4 or 5 bags full of, I was wearing French Connection for like a good year. I had so much French Connection shit. And then my man walked out the job, bro. I love a good clothing scam. I'm sorry, bro. Anybody that's getting fired, they can give us some clothing, bro. That's my heart right there. That's the
well, shit, how winner. You think I got caught? I was at Dillard's getting charged $8 for Tommy Girl, and then security saw that shit. Next thing I know, Tallahassee police was at the house talking about where the clothes at.
I'm convinced there's a reason, like, globally, and the universe did not need us to know each other while either one of us were in school. That's all I'm going to say. There's no way.
We would still be in prison.
Yeah, we'd be in prison. We'd be in jail.
I would just be getting out of prison. For sure. Maybe. Yes. Yes. No. Like, yeah. Hey, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, no, they told me what I was facing.
I'd still be in. Yeah.
And I'd be a 43-year-old intern at the radio station in Birmingham, coasting on my father's reputation, trying to get jobs. It's time now for
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
We got an email. You're welcome to email the show, RoyceJobFair@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show, share a little feedback. Got some feedback from the homegirl, Joy. Good day, all, says Joy.
Hi, Joy.
I just finished listening to Rod's Relationship Fair, Military Sex.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Third note. He read it, too. I thoroughly enjoyed the content. You had representatives from the gay and straight communities who indulged about their time. What the episode lacked was the voice of a military spouse.
Oh.
I'm now divorced due to my ex's infidelity, but I believe that the dialogue and jokes could have been richer if that perspective had been added. Mm. Served the country as a civil servant for over 15 years, was deployed twice, and I am fully aware of what can happen during a deployment, and I am well aware of the impact on the families left behind. Should you decide to host Rod's Relationship Fair number 3, Military Sex Part 2, I hope you include representation from spouses and exes to provide a full perspective of what's happening in these streets and in the sandbox, and I would welcome the invitation to participate.
Oh,
she got a story.
Sincerely yours, Joy.
You write in with some shit like that. That means she got a story to fucking tell, boy.
Let me tell you how we booked the show, Joy, because we're not a high budget acoustical radio presentation. It's two ways we booked the show. Actually, number one, we have a wonderful booker, Hayat, and Hayat cold emails dignitaries and celebrities for us, and sometimes just people that we know from my Rolodex or JG or Ralph's Rolodex, and we go, hey, y'all, reach out to this person for us and book them. And that's generally how we book a lot of the professional people that are on the show. Now, the other way we book the show, we throw out a tweet or two, and you motherfuckers either reply or you don't. And
that's really it.
I'm
serious.
That's pretty much
because we talk to the general public, so we just have to reach out to the public. And so there are a lot of people, the people who were most eager to respond, the people who responded most eagerly were those enlisted who wanted to say what they had seen or wanted to say what they had did. So that's what we unfortunately had to. I wanted a spouse. What I wanted was a spouse who was cheating on the person who was deployed. Ooh. But you present a different perspective, Joy. You were the person that was dealing with the fallout of the cheating. So, you know, Rod, we might have to run this back and get old Joy on the program. Because this is a perspective that we wanted. It no one bit. We laid the net. We laid the breadcrumbs. No one took a bite on the line. So we had to roll.
This is a comedy-based podcast. And, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who would like to tell the jovial tale of how they got cheated on the hell and back while their husband was deployed or their wife was deployed. So now, not a lot of the spouses with the story of my family was destroyed by this would like to come on a comedy show and just tell the whole fucking world about that.
I mean, you can turn your camera off. You ain't got to be on camera.
I'm just saying that, like, that doesn't sound like it. I mean, if I hope her story has some humor to it, because if not, it's just like, that's going to be depressing for the listeners and for us.
So,
like, what do, like, if we can't crack any jokes, what the hell are we here for?
Let me be real honest with both of you. It might be fair to say that I know this story. I know the story. I know what happened in this situation. I could be accused of holding back because I knew that Roy was looking for somebody in this situation, and I did not want to offer up said
person. Wait, you know this emailer? You know this listener?
Holy
shit. Now they got to come on the show.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let her come on the show. I will. Oh, my nigga. It is pretty fucking good.
You right there with that.
Isn't that your sister?
When you write in begging to tell that story, it's got to be awesome.
I would go as far as to say that she's my Spellman sister. I'll say that. She's my Spellman sister.
Nonetheless, for getting cheated on and continuing to serve your country as a civil servant, not just domestically, but abroad, and remain and keeping and maintaining the mental tenacity needed to work overseas and do what you can to feed your family while this motherfucker's in the desert fucking people in the foxhole. Joy, you are
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Email us back. We want to get you on the show and hear about
it. How you like that?
We want to.
How you like that, sis?
Get you back on the show. We might not even do a relationship fair. We might just have her on for breaking out. She just might be a special.
I want to hear it. Yeah. No, say less. No. I'm not even going to comment. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not even going to comment.
If you want to open up your world to us, I'm happy to be nosy.
Don't talk out of it. Mm-mm. She said in the third paragraph, mm-hmm. should you decide to host Military Sex Part 2, we include representation from spouses and exes who got dirty dick. She didn't put dirty dick. Full perspective.
I want to
of what's happening in these streets.
Joy, bruh. I want to know if he was cute. Okay. I want to know a bunch of stuff. I don't know.
He was cute. He was cute. I can confirm that much for you.
I don't want that from you.
I can confirm that for you, though. I'm telling you, he's a cute
that's
guy.
That's a more rigging endorsement of a man's looks than hearing that from a woman, honestly.
We've all told some of our great firing stories. It's time to start this episode with what I believe, third, is one of the greatest, most recent firing stories of the year.
That's fair.
Did you watch the Black News Channel when it was on?
I did.
I watched the Black News Channel because I long for news from our perspective, and I'm tired of everything being labeled as quote-unquote, we care about Black people, but there are, you know, Black issues being discussed on the shows. A lot of great programs on that channel dissecting a lot of issues relevant to the Black culture.
I didn't watch it. I don't have cable.
Well, then that's a fair reasoning, Jason.
Yeah, that's can't really fault you when you don't have cable.
That's true.
Also, you're a traveling woman, and them hotels you in, they barely got BET, so I know they ain't got BET.
I think the Marriott's going to be appalled by that, but go ahead.
And if they don't, then get Black News Channel if you want to be called out. That's part of why I stay at Hampton Inns, because they have all the channels.
Okay.
But this is a wonderful channel, Jacqueline, and they were doing a lot of great things. Uh-huh. And as with any new type of media channel, you need a couple of years to build.
Okay.
But then one day out the blue, the Black News Channel ceased operation and didn't tell none of their employees. And just one day, them motherfuckers tried to go to work and the key card didn't work. And they didn't give them their last paychecks.
You're kidding.
Filed bankruptcy and said, sorry, dog, I ain't even got you on your last paycheck. In a statement, BNC said, this is in March of 2022, said, quote, unfortunately, due to challenging market conditions and global financial pressures, we have been unable to meet our financial goals, and the timeline afforded to us has run out. One of the owners is the motherfucker that owned the Jaguars. Bitch, I know you got the bread, Con.
What?
I know you got the bread. You paying them trash-ass quarterbacks. Goddamn, you're still playing Blaine Gabbert, and you ain't got no money to pay these Black folks.
Blaine Gabbert.
Joining us on the job fair right now is a brother that is now ascended to the two-timer club. He came on earlier this year to talk fatherhood and what it means to be a traveling dad and still the challenges of being present for your children. JG, real quick, who we have back on the phone?
We have legend, sports journalist, TV host, and actor.
And former BNC employee.
Okay. Mike Hill. Hi, Mike.
What's up, y'all? Happy to be back with you.
Oh, thank you.
Still waiting for my money from BNC.
And we are.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not going to keep you, Mike. We just want you to walk us through the day that you found out the Black News Channel was canceled.
What?
And.
Ooh, man, just rip off the scab.
When you found out you wasn't getting your last paycheck. Mm. Like, even Popeyes give you your last paycheck. How you gonna just not pay people?
Yeah.
Because you went to bed employed with the Black News Channel, correct?
I did. I did the shut. Look, bro, what kind of pissed me off is that they knew they were going to shut down operations. And they still made me come to work early that morning. And I did the last show that they were going to do. I'm like, if you're going to let people go, why my ass had to come to work that day? You could have let me go. Mm. You could have told me the night before. You knew you weren't going to make payroll the next day.
I want you to know that my laughs come with the utmost of respect. This is respectful.
I can only laugh
laughs.
About it now. I can only laugh about it now.
Were there hints in the air that the whole company was going to shut down? Like, did they stop putting coffee in the coffee maker that week? Did they? Was it a couple of people?
I'll give you one
up?
Stirring straw on Monday and just told you hold this. Hold this.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell y'all when they started laying people off. A week before Christmas, I knew that the company was in trouble. But I said, okay, maybe we can turn things around. We can hire, you know, like it's when it's a new network, things are like that, and people spending money. They made a lot of mistakes or whatever that they, you know, hopefully they can learn from. They ever start something up again like that. But we knew that if the ratings and the viewership didn't get better, then maybe we was going to be in trouble. But maybe after the summer. But the day before they shut down, there was a rumor that they weren't going to make payroll, right? That it was going to be late. And it wasn't really affecting me because I didn't get paid on Fridays. I got paid every 15th of the month because I was an independent contractor. And I was like, well, I ain't worried about it. I ain't getting paid on Friday anyway. So I'm getting paid on the 15th of the month. So I ain't really, I felt bad for everybody else. Don't get me wrong. I do. But I'm like, okay, this shit ain't going to really affect me until next month.
Okay, but is there a text thread? Because BNC was interesting in that you all had a lot of mobile studios. You had a mothership studio in Tallahassee, Florida, where BNC was headquartered. And then, you know, you had Atlanta bureaus. You were in the LA bureau. Was there at least a group chat? Was y'all talking to each other on a group chat?
We had this one girl who was a booking producer who was like the Miss Bonita of the network. You know, that's everybody business. Y'all ain't heard this from me, but somebody.
I ain't want to gossip.
Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I ain't want to gossip, but blah, blah, blah. But gossiping on she and always got something negative to say. So, yeah, she was on that. Well, you know, they about to shut down. I can't believe y'all going to go to work. So we went to work. They asked us to come to work. We went to work that day. And once again, I did the show from 7 until 10 that morning. And went and took my nap like I usually do. When I woke up an hour later, that's when it's like my phone's blowing up. It's like, did you hear it? And I'm like, what happened? It's like BNC shut down. They just filed for bankruptcy. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Today? That was it. And so, like, once again, bro, they did not. The 15th came and went.
Oh.
I didn't get my damn paycheck. Everybody else didn't get their paycheck. They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So they couldn't actually pay out the last paychecks because until the network gets sold. So I'm still waiting. And that's why I'm in this studio right here. This is the BNC studio in my home. And I got plenty of equipment like cameras and lights.
They ain't come to get their shit either?
Who coming?
Oh, they asked for it.
They did not.
they asked for it.
They did not.
Roy, where am I from? Jacqueline, where am I from?
Baltimore.
Alabama.
Hey, you can run your ass up in here if you want to.
Bingo.
You better run me my check.
You ain't never worked in journalism. If you ain't had that, I'd love the fact. Yeah, come get it. Y'all come on up here. Come on
hey,
up in
Mike,
here.
Mike, it's Phil from Black News Channel. Could you mail us the cannon and the teleprompter box if you we sent you a FedEx box with you. Those items in there.
Mike, this is the third time. This is the third time we've called Mike. Mike, this is hi, Mike. Man, this is third time. Third time we've called Mike.
Only number I want you to know is my routing number to my bank. That's the only number I want you to know right now.
Yes,
is that routing number and my account number to my bank. You know what I mean? Because, look, I feel bad. Like, they owe me, and I ain't bragging about it, but I was getting paid a lot of money. I was under contract, and I had a guaranteed deal. So we're talking about close to seven figures that they, you know, so that's, I ain't getting it. You know what I mean? And so, but there are other people who needed that they live from paycheck to paycheck, man.
That's what I'm so mad about
because how are you not going to pay those people, man? I can move on. I got 20 other jobs, but thank God I'm blessed to have that. But at the same time, the production assistant, the producer that moved to Tallahassee, man, like, that's who I'm pissed off for.
So we'll get you out of here on this question. You know, we're laughing a lot about firings and, you know, being fired. And we've all been fired. I think you told us last time you were on, you said your career don't start until you've been fired.
Amen.
Exactly.
Talk to us a little bit about when the Black News Channel collapsed. Talk to us a little bit about the community between the employees in turn, because not getting your last paycheck sends you into such a rage that the general depression that follows being fired has to be delayed because you're mad about not getting your money. But what were some of the things that you noticed amongst the Black News Channel employees in which they were able to rely upon each other in terms of, just for the sake of their mental health, just for other people who are out there who are dealing with being fired?
Here's the thing, what I can say, that the sad part about what happened at the Black News Channel was that it was Black, that we did that. You know what I mean? It was us. But the great thing and the humanity that I saw is that so many people from so many organizations came together to try and pluck these people who are out of work. You saw people from MSNBC, from CNN, from local markets. I had a lot of recruiters reaching out to me and saying, hey, if you guys got production assistants, producers, you got anchors or whatever that's looking for jobs, send them over here. We're going to look out for them. NABJ looked out. National Association of Black Journalists looked out. So a lot of these people who are out of work, they've landed on their feet. And the way I look at it, like being fired, man, for me, I'm able to handle it and the things I've gone through in my life or whatever, being let go. Because I look at my burdens as a blessing because it served a purpose. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, my spirituality tells me that God don't make mistakes. And when that happened to me, that meant that my time was up there. And it means that another door is going to open up bigger and wider. And I've been fortunate enough to been able to do, you know, so many great things since BNC closed their doors. And a lot of the people that are that were at BNC have been able to do the same thing and been put in better positions because of that. So I'm praying for everybody and I hope everybody can have that same type of success.
I have one question really quickly, Roy. Did that incident make you hesitant to look at CNN Plus? Just ask.
You know what's crazy? Oh, shit. What's crazy is CNN Plus, they week after we got let go, they started up and people was like, okay, what about CNN Plus? And I thought about it, but I was like, you know what? That's what I told you last time. I wanted to kind of go into acting, whatever, and just do other kind of hosting stuff. But I wasn't even thinking about news. And somebody talked to me about CNN. And, you know, once again, that's unfortunate because they didn't last a week. And
CNN Plus launched and it was done. Yeah.
Grand opening, grand closing.
I was about to say the same thing, grand opening, grand closing, man. So, you know, but that's also unfortunate because the people on air, you look at them and you say, oh, they're out of a job. Once again, it ain't about the people on air because usually we're in a good position. We got contracts, we get severance, or we got money saved up. I'm concerned about the production assistants and the producers and the people who aren't making that kind of money that maybe move their family somewhere. And now they're looking for something and they're out of work. Yeah, so that's what I pray for, bro. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Brother Mike Hill, we look forward to watching you as always on Fox Sports and all of the number of acting gigs that you are racking up. And maybe you'll back up on Real Housewives at some point with Cynthia. Mm-mm. We'll see. I know you
Hell
can't
no.
tell us no secrets.
We done with that.
Hell no.
Like, boy, you my homeboy. You supposed to be wishing me well, bro. Like, I wish, hey, they could have it. But I'm retired, bro. Well, I'm retired.
See, that's that bougie Alabama shit. He trying to set you out, bro. You see how they do? Y'all see how he went into the bougie school? He set you out.
He went to Ramsey.
That's all that is.
I'm glad that your career is going well, Mike Hill. And if all else fails, you have stolen equipment from Black News Channel that you can sell in Texas.
I was going to ask y'all if y'all need some equipment.
Hit him up on Twitter at It's Mike Hill. And also IG. Your IG is the same as well, right? It's Mike Hill. Brother, as always, good thank to see you, man. Thank you for coming on a very special I Got Fired episode of The Job, yeah, brother.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Job fair. Now, I do not have a Grammy, Jacqueline.
Yes.
But I do know of a trophy shop that makes them. And for the low price of about $70, I can have me a Grammy. Did you know you could do that with a Peabody Award for real, Third?
When are we giving out Peabody's for Christmas?
The homie Hasan Minhaj, right? From Patriot Act on Netflix. He won a Peabody. I picked that thing up for inspiration. I look at the bottom of the Peabody. It is a sticker. If you lose it and you want another one, call this number.
Stop.
Really?
Word.
That's all I got to do to get a trophy, bitch? What the hell? Damn it. Why am I working so hard?
I'm telling you, bro. Peabody's for Christmas next year, everybody.
If it's anybody who has bad stories, it is people who have gone on tour. JG, let's get this two-time Grammy winner onto the show, please.
Absolutely. We have Nigel. And like you said, he is a two-time Grammy winner. And he is also a longtime listener of The Job Fair. Hey. He is a native of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, young. That's what's up.
And tours as a professional keyboardist. He's worked with the likes of the Wu-Tang Clan. Just throwing that out there. And he will be talking with us about his worst job he held back in Portland, Maine, at a shoe store. Hi, Nigel.
Mm. Yes. Nigel, what's happening, fam?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? I'm just very honored to be on the show with y'all. I really appreciate it. I listen to you guys all the time. And you guys have me cracking up every day, and I love it. I appreciate it.
When did you first pick up the piano? When did you first go, you know what? This is some shit I can do. Because I'll be honest, most brothers that play the piano where I'm from, and I'm from Alabama, they just end up in the church. The church is the path for a pianist. And I know that there's an amazing plethora of keyboardists all over the globe doing a number of different things every which way. How did you find your way into hip hop and not gospel or soul or, you know, R&B?
Well, I don't just play hip hop. I play soul, R&B, I play jazz. I'm really more into jazz than I am anything. And my father was a musician. My grandmother had a piano. I was 4 years old. I went over to my grandmother's house and I played this piano, and I played one of the low notes. You know, I'm still a little guy, but even when I was four, I was really small. But I'd go over to this piano and I'd play one of the lower notes. And it was just this really big sound. And I was just so enamored that I made that sound. And I've been chasing that high ever since. Basically, you know, it's a feeling. And then when you get older and you realize, you know, you learn a little bit and you play different things. It's just all about feeling. It's how you feel. I played with people like Chaka Khan and
With
a band called Lettuce Now. It's a funk band. And I have my own records out. I have 2 records out of my own.
Nice.
You know, so I don't just do hip hop, but I do love it when we get to play with hip hop. My band Lettuce, we normally back when hip hop MCs, when they need a band, they'll normally call us. If they don't call the Roots, they call us.
You have toured the globe. You have played the Ivories all over the place. 88 keys up and down the globe, every hemisphere, every time zone. But before all of that, you were in Portland, Maine as one of 3 black people as part of the
literally one of 3 black people
yes. foreign exchange program that they do with DC, where they send 2 black people from the DMV up to Maine for the summer.
And then they
send 2 people in exchange for maple syrup from Maine. They have to send 2 black people up there to meet diversity quotas.
For the whole city.
Yeah.
Break down this time at the shoe store up there in Maine. What made this job so terrible?
All right. Well, I had only been playing music. I had been playing around town. Portland had a little music scene. Actually, Portland had a really good music scene when I was coming up there. But alas, it's not when you're not as successful as we are all working towards, you know, you don't have no money. And you gotta and gigs, those gigs aren't gonna feed you forever. I'm actually just coming from being homeless. All I wanted to do was play gigs. I was young, but all I wanted to do was just play. And I said, there's gotta be a way that I can just play music and not have to work in corporate America to make money to survive. And doing that, I was like, I started saying that, okay, after these gigs, after traveling, you got to travel from Portland, Maine to Boston, right? Which was generally how it happened. I have to go to Portland, Maine to Boston. You got to chip in for gas. You got to eat. You know, if you smoke, you got to smoke while you're down there. So, and if you don't have no money at the start, then you don't have none when it's done either, because you done basically just worked for free. So now I'm like, okay, I need a fucking job. I need a place to live. A friend of mine finally gave me a place to live, and I needed a job so that I can at least maintain rent. At least I can have a place to stay. Because it gets cold in Maine, and if you out in the street, it sucks. Anyway, I got this job at Olympia Sports, and mostly because I wanted to get 40% off of shoes.
That's such black logic. I love it. Keep going.
Well, that's what exactly. So, all I wanted to do is just go. At least when I went on stage, I wanted to have fresh shoes. I was always the one that wanted to have the shoes right out the box. And the guy who was the manager there, bless his heart, he really dealt with a lot. But he kept me on because he knew that I was a musician in the city. And he was halfway supportive of, like, okay, this kid's got a dream. He's got to have some sort of support. I'll give him a job, have him work part-time. He'll get his little percent off of shoes and, you know, everything will be cool. And about 6 months down the road, like, I was doing this and I was always leaving back and forth. You know, to go out of town. Now the gigs were going to New York City. Now they were going to Philadelphia. Now I'm coming a little bit further out in the Northeast and starting to get seen by people and going to different places. Though. Yes, exactly. And what's happening is now the party scene is starting to show up. You know, the people are starting to come out the woodworks with the cocaine and want to hang out all night.
What year is this, if you don't mind us asking? Just ballpark us the year.
Oh, it was 05. Now we're starting to go out to different cities and bigger cities and bigger venues. And we're
staying
making
out at night now.
Staying out. Now I'm staying out all night. Night. Okay. And there had been times where I had come into, and I mean a lot of times within that last, like the last, say, 2 months that I had worked at this place, that I had been coming in straight from the party.
Doing whatever until sunrise and then making a 6 hour drive back to, for a store that opens at 10 a.m.
Plus hour. You got to remember, I might have been driving back from Philly. You know what I'm saying? And then somehow just partied the whole way home. Does it get, you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, some nut shit. But it got to a point, and this, and it got to a point where, like, I walked in there and I was calling my manager, and I said, "Man, please, look, I can't come in today. I'm in such and such. I tried to make up some shit." It's like, and he's like, "Yo, if you don't come in today, I can't help you, man. I'm sorry, and I can't let it happen today." And he was like, I hung up the phone. I was like, fuck. So I go in, I said, fuck it. All right, I'm just going to go in. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to put my big boy pants on. I did this to myself. Nobody asked me to stay out all night and do stupid shit. So I'm going to go to work. And I went to work, and I felt like the biggest piece of shit on the planet. And it was, I'm telling you, and man, it is, you don't fucking do that. Like, you don't do that. And you only do that when you're young and stupid. Anyway, I'm setting up, I'm pulling the shoes and I'm putting them on the thing, and I'm so pissed. And like every 5 minutes, I feel like I gotta puke. And then on Muzak, and this is like, so now we're thinking, say, like, we're like noontime now. Like, the day's passed. I've had a few customers. I'm all right, but I still feel like shit.
You're hungover. No sleep.
Noon comes around, and on Muzak, you know, the Muzak shit that plays.
Yeah, the instrumental.
Music.
That was Spotify before Spotify.
That
young
was
people.
Exactly.
That was streaming for retail exactly. stores. Exactly. Streaming for retail.
Spotify with alto saxes.
Yes, basically all of that. And I heard myself and my band on Muzak. I heard it.
Oh, that's what's
and
up.
I called that motherfucker with the quickness, and I said, "You better get somebody in here, cause I am going the fuck home." I literally said that to him. I said, "I am going the fuck home. I'm out. I will come and pick up my last paycheck." I literally lived across the street from the place. I said, "I'll come get the check. I'm fucking out. Cause you got 10 minutes, or somebody gonna, the people gonna come in here and get free shoes." Because I'm out.
That's the dopest shit ever. That's fire. You heard yourself on Muzak, and that's how you quit the gig?
I heard the record that I had just recorded and released 2 months prior to that being played.
Fire.
On Muzak, which means now I'm getting royalty money from that.
And that was real royalty money.
But I'm getting paid for that. Just because it's getting, boy, you should have seen how big my head got. I couldn't even get out the motherfucker. I was like, "I am out of here. Do you hear what that is right there?" And I was like, "I'm out. I'm Rick James, bitch."
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful last story, man. Well, Brother Nigel, we can't thank you enough for calling into the show, man. Much respect to you and Lettuce and the journey of your band and everything that y'all doing. Hell, when I get me a little band money, I might have y'all come play something, do some live acoustical shit. You know,
we would love to back you up. And just really quickly, if I may, I just want to say that you guys, I'm 414 days clean and sober. Today.
Yes, sir.
I'm,
yes, sir.
I do smoke weed. I, what is it called? Marijuana maintenance. I do that, but I don't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, you know, it's one day at a time with this shit. And you guys make the day I feel like you guys, for me, make the day much easier to handle. When I get up in the morning and I hear you guys just clowning and talking about shit, and I just really appreciate every single one of y'all. I'm a huge fan of Roy. The Baltimore eviction prank is my favorite one.
Miss Celia.
That's my favorite. Miss Celia. She said, if you don't get the hell off of my phone, man, that was the greatest thing I ever heard in my life. I just wanted to let you know
that. That one's on YouTube if y'all want to dig in the crates and find that one. We called a 98-year-old lady Jacqueline and threatened her life.
She was mad as
shit. She replied to me with the arsenal of guns that she owns.
Respect.
And she said that she would blow Roy's balls around his neck.
Is she from Baltimore? Yeah.
Did you ever end up sending her that check from Walgreens for $21.99?
Really did. I sent her a Walgreens gift card so she could buy some Depends because she had pissed. She was so mad at me, Jacqueline. She lost some of her piss.
Oh stop! Are you for real, young?
She was so mad.
That's hilarious.
That makes me love you even more, Roy. That's a real dude, man. Much respect to you and JG and Third and all of y'all. And I love y'all so very much. And keep doing what y'all doing, please.
Hey, appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much. After the break, the homie Todd Rex joins the Two Time Club. How you quit a job without opening your mouth? Like, straight up didn't say a word face to face with his boss and quit the job, never opened his mouth. He gonna break it down for us. A special My Last Day at Work edition of the Job Fair. We'll be right back.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Job Fair, we are bringing it home. So, Todd Rex.
Yes, sir, Roy Wood Jr.
Father of four, raiser of successful offspring.
Indeed.
Comedian of three decades.
Yes.
You've done a lot.
Yes.
But before all of that.
Oh, my God.
At some point, you had a worst job or first job, and we're going to get you out of here. And you're going to tell us one of them stories on your way out the door.
First of all, let me start by saying that I never had a job that I didn't walk away from, like on the spot, like where I had an opportunity just to leave and I just left.
Never formally resigned from any job.
Never formally resigned from a job. I just get fed up and be like, you know what? I'm not coming in anymore. And I would just leave. One of them was a place called Silver Spring Auto Parts. And this is one of the funniest stories that I have. Like, so first year out of high school, I went and got a job at this place called Silver Spring Auto Parts. And my job was to drive around, pick up auto parts. And some friends of mine used to go to Montgomery College, which is like basically 13th grade, like community college. And, okay. And I decided to go ahead and make some money. And so it was like wintertime and I was driving the company pickup truck and I was driving, you know, picking up some auto parts and I was driving past Montgomery College and I saw a group of my friends that I went to high school with And I beat the horn and pointed at him like I was laughing at him, like, y'all suckers, he's going to school when I'm making money. Beep, beep, beep. And I looked up and cars had stopped in front of me and I had to slam on the brakes, but it was a little bit of icy conditions. And the truck slid off the road and hit a telephone, like wrapped around a telephone pole.
Oh.
And all my friends saw it and they fell out laughing.
Did you like call your boss or did you just walk away from the wreckage? And just,
no, I called my boss. He wasn't even mad. He was like, yeah, the roads, the conditions, whatever. But that same job, a few months later, I was at a hotel that I rented for New Year's Eve. So me and my friends were there and my boss is, if you don't show up tomorrow, we're going to have a problem. Because I know you're going out and partying. I heard you talking to your friends. And I was like, I'll be there. So the next morning, I was way too hungover to go to work. And I called my job. And my buddies were sitting there like, what are you going to tell them? And I was like, I'm just going to tell them the truth. So I called him. And it was on speakerphone in the hotel room. And I was like, yeah, let me talk to Saul. And the owner got on. He's like, this Israeli dude. He's like, yes, what's up? And I was like, hey, I know you told me that if I didn't come in today, there was going to be some problems. He's like, don't not tell me that you're not coming in. If you're not coming in, you're fired. And I was like, well, you can't. And he said, you can't fire me. And he said, I can't fire you. Why is that? And I was like, because I quit. And I hung up.
What a petty bastard.
Petty. And then can I tell you the other one that's really funny? One last one. I used to work at this place called Tasty T-Shirt Company in Rockville, Maryland.
Huh?
It was a place called Rockville, Maryland, a place called Tasty T-Shirt Company. And I was like a screen printer and it was a pretty big operation owned by a dad and his two sons. And those sons were a little older. And I just started doing stand-up comedy at that time. And 2 days a week, they would have these autistic dudes come. They were grownups, but they were autistic and they would come and they'd work at the shop and get work experience. But some of them were pretty hilarious, right? So then it would be in the summertime, it'd be hot as hell. And the roll-up garage doors were always open with the big fan blowing and keeping cool in the shop. Well, every day that these dudes would come, they'd close the garage doors. And I finally asked one of the owners, I was like, why do you guys close the garage door? Like, it's hot. It's like 110 degrees in there. And they're like, well, we used to keep them open. But Monty, who was like this 35-year-old special needs dude, like just ran out into the street and got hit by a car.
Oh,
so
no.
They had to keep it. he didn't get killed enough like that. He was like.
So to accommodate the needs of the special needs coworkers, everybody had to bake at 115 degrees.
Exactly. Because they don't want any of the special needs dudes running out and getting hit by cars anymore.
Well, as an employer, I would much rather you die of heat stroke than vehicle. If I'm a boss, and I'm choosing.
Right. Well, if you're an employer, then you're like, you're making uncomfortable working conditions. But if I go out in the street and get hit by a car, that's on me.
No.
Yes, but as an employer, if you're hiring people from that community, you have to make sure that the conditions
are safe.
Right here is a good place to end.
Well, I want to tell you how I quit that job. I want to tell you how I quit this job. So the owner of the company was the old man. He had the two sons who were like in their like 30s, and I was like 22. And the one dude was like, he loved the fact that I did comedy. And he was like, yeah, man, go follow your dreams. And the other son was like more of a stickler. And the younger of the two sons, he comes to me one day. I get there and he goes, Todd, come here for a second. I'm like, what's up? And he was like, find your time card on the time clock. And I pulled my time card out and he was like, what time are you supposed to be here? And I said, 8:30. He said, look at your time card and tell me when you've been here at 8:30 or before any time in the last 2 weeks. And I looked at my time card and I couldn't find a time. And he was like, you've been late every single day.
Oh.
And I was like, well, you know, I do stand-up comedy at night and I'm out pretty late. And he was like, I don't care about that. This is your job while you're here. So you need to be here on time. If you even know you're going to be late, don't come in. You're done. And I was like, okay. So the next day, very next day, I've been out the night before doing stand-up. It's driving to work. I'm struggling to get there. I was supposed to be there at 8:30. I pull into this parking lot at like 8:33. And I look at the front door and that dude is standing out there smoking a cigarette. And as he sees me pulling the driveway, he looks at his watch. And I was like, this nigga. So I like, so it was like a horseshoe driveway. So I just drove around the horseshoe and looked at him as I pulled out of the parking lot and just drove home. And when I came to pick my paycheck up on Friday, I walked into the office. And he just busted out laughing. He was like, "That was probably the funniest quitting of a job that I've ever witnessed." You didn't even try to explain yourself or nothing. I was like, "You told me just to go home."
I go home. I support this. Yeah.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.